Hello, and welcome to Grants Creek Baptist Church in Maysville, North Carolina. We're a Southern Baptist church with a heart for worship, sharing God's love with all people by being the hands and feet of Jesus. We pray that you are truly blessed by this recording of our Sunday evening worship services with Pastor Steve Grissom. Join us now as Pastor Steve leads us through the Word of God.
Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We are moving along, and the truth is we'll soon be finishing up the book of 1 Corinthians. And I pray that it's been beneficial to you in this study. I know there's been a lot of difficult things to teach out of in this book. Some topics that would have been a lot easier to have skipped, but I think it's important that as we work through the scriptures like this, that we deal with every subject that the Bible puts before us, because it's from God, and it's important that we not neglect anything that He has to teach us. A few years ago, I had bought Kim one of those elliptical machines. You know what I'm talking about? They're a lot of fun. You know, they'll hold a lot of laundry but she, when she first got it, actually bought it for before Christmas, because she wanted to get in, you know, shape before Christmas, you know, and look her best. I don't know how she could look any better, but she, pretty good, Ted. But she had got it a few weeks before Christmas, and she got on there, I mean, really every night, and she was frightening, actually, to watch her. And she'd get on it and work 45 minutes and just sweat rolling off of her, and she wouldn't weigh, because she wanted to see what it would be like, because she just wanted to be that big surprise, you know, at the end of those weeks. And after 3 weeks of real strenuous work, you know, out, she weighed and she had gained 3 pounds. And it was really frustrating, you know, for her. And it was like, why waste my time on this? And people were telling her, oh, it's muscle, Kim. You know, muscle's heavier than fat. You know, it's like she weren't having any of that, you know. All she knew was there was 3 more pounds on the scale than when there was when she got it. That was not a good gift. You know, and the reason I'm talking about it, I guess I'm thinking of gifts tonight, you know. That was not a good gift. After that week, pretty much it held a lot of laundry. I've gotten a lot of gifts over the years and stuff, and things that were really nice, and some things that I really didn't know what to do with. I brought a few tonight, and just to show you that I've gotten from church members. You know, this one here, I mean, it's something that everybody can use. When this person gave it to me, she didn't tell me what it was for, and I have no idea what to do with it. There's gourd seeds in it. I guess you could be the Moroccos, you know. If you wanted to use it for that. Really, really nice here. This one here, same lady made this lizard for me. And you would think, why would somebody make a lizard for the preacher? You know, it looks kind of like, you know, the serpent too. You know, just thinking about it tonight. So she made this for me. Actually, it was a little funny. And during Vacation Bible School, I don't like reptiles. I'll just tell you, I don't like snakes. I don't like touching them. I don't like them, okay? I don't like green eggs and ham. I don't like them, Sam. I am. I don't like those things. But it was a contest at VBS that if the boys raised the most or brought the most canned goods in, you know, we would win. And the girls, when they did, they would win. And so if I lost, they knew I didn't like reptiles, somebody brought this pet lizard. They had a real one. And they wanted me to hold it. Oh, it was... We lost. It was awful. I mean, it was just the most awful thing I'd ever done on a Sunday morning. But she thought it was so funny. She made this lizard. And then I have this coffee mug that, you know, that nobody could ever drink from. You know, I don't even know what it says on there. But it's interesting. I used to put ink pens in it, and that's what's there. You can't even find an ink pen. So, I mean, it's interesting some of the things that we get as gifts, right? We get some strange things. I try not to give them away. I don't re-gift homemade things. Anyway, I may re-gift a shirt. I don't know. But at any rate, you know, there's some gifts that we possess as Christians that we don't use to our full potential, too. You know what I'm saying? Every one of us that's born again has a gift, a spiritual gift that's been given to you. And you have a purpose to use it. And tonight I just want to share with you some. And this is a big chapter, and I'm not going to deal with every verse in here tonight. I'm going to probably preach more on the ending of the chapter, but I want to read it all. But if you have questions later on at the end of the service, we'll be glad to talk about them. But turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12 and read verses 1 through 11. And it reads, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. I do not want you, you know that when you were pagan, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." And that's really interesting here, and I'm just not going to deal with that so much tonight, but it's really interesting to talk about here. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now, this is important. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them and all men. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. We'll talk about that in another few weeks. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. Now, remember from the very beginning of this book that this church in Corinth seemed to be more interested in what everybody else had rather than what God had given them. Whether or not it was the preacher that they liked, whether or not it was a certain type of service they liked, whether or not it was the gathering and communion, it didn't make any difference. They were all focused inwardly rather than outwardly. And I hope that tonight that we'll see these spiritual gifts are not for the purpose of ourselves. Therefore, the manifestation or the upbuilding of the church and bringing and drawing others to God. I read this part just to get to the rest of the chapter. I said that again. And if you do, if you have questions concerning this first part, we'll talk about it later and tonight or at some other time. Now, just so keep your Bibles and let's look at a few other things. Have you ever been asked the question, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? You ever heard that term? You ever heard someone ask you that? Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? There was some folks that I used to work with that were very charismatic, and they had asked me from time to time, you know, we talk about our salvation and stuff, and then one of the first things they'd ask was, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Which their idea of what that meant something totally different than what the Scriptures really say about it, okay? So it's an interesting question. And what does it mean to be baptized by the Holy Spirit? What does all that mean? So verses 12 to 13 says, "The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we are all," what does it say? "Baptized by one Spirit into" what? "One body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we are all given the one Spirit to drink." Okay. Now, we read earlier about the spiritual gifts and that they were given to the church and how Paul is explaining to what purpose that they all have. And he uses this analogy of the human body. I think it's just amazing that Paul, you know, can use these types of analogies to make sense of what it is he's trying to teach. You and I may take it for granted now, but you imagine the first time that this was described has the church being compared to the body, a human body. It's an amazing statement to be a part of Christ, isn't it? And that we're a part of Christ. And Paul is saying that we constitute the means by which Christ functions in this world. Let me just tell you that again. Paul was letting you know that we are the means that Christ chooses. Now, He could do it any kind of way He wants to, but He chooses to use us to function in the world, to make Himself known into the world through you and I. Big responsibility, isn't it? I think sometimes we may not take that responsibility as seriously as we should, but He's using, God the Creator Himself is using you and I to make Himself known in the world so that people will know Him. It's important, and if we're to understand how the church works and the purpose of Christ's church, we've got to understand that we are part of the body of Christ. It's a body with a lot of members, but still one body. A lot of members, arms, legs, or people, however you want to look at it, one body. And now, how did we get into that body? Well, we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. So that's how we are in the body. When you're talking about being baptized in the Spirit, this is what he's talking about here. He's not speaking about anything else. And when other people try to make it sound like there's something that must come out of you or be seen in you, you know, in some particular way, whether it's speaking in tongues or being slain in the Spirit, of all these other things that so many people like to grasp onto, that's not what it says. That's not what it's talking about. So if you're a Christian, you have been baptized by the Holy Spirit. Period. If you're a Christian, you have been baptized by the Holy Spirit. And you can not be a Christian if you've not been baptized by the Holy Spirit. So Paul goes on to say that it doesn't matter what your origin is, and I love that line. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're black, if you're white, if you're brown, you're yellow, you're rich, you're poor, you're a doctor, a mechanic. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We're all part of the body of Christ. How beautiful that is. How beautiful. That's what is so beautiful about the gathering that we do here. When we come together, there's no social differences between us. There's no economic differences between us. There's no racial differences between us. We are all just one together. We're just one, all equal in the same way before God. The preacher no better than the usher. The deacon no better than the person who cleans the kitchen. We are all equal in this. Isn't it beautiful to know that? And we are indwelt by His Spirit. When you drink a glass of water, what happens to that water? It becomes a part of you, doesn't it? I mean, when I drink this, well, the water's not here, but when I drink the water, it becomes a part of me. That H2O, that's added to my chemical makeup. We drink of the Spirit, and the Spirit becomes a part of us. I think Paul puts it so neatly. You know, we know that the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit was sent to us to be an encourager, a counselor, a comforter, you know, the teacher and guide to all truth. We know that. But I love how Jesus explains it, the purpose of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 16, verse 15, it says, "All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you." And he goes on in John 14, 20, he says, "On that day you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you." Is that not miraculous to even think of that? That we are part of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We're all together. It's hard to get our head around it and hard to comprehend how that really looks. But the truth of it is, it's what it is. Because He says so. When the Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ, He puts us into Christ. He says, "You are in me. You're in me." He joins our life with His. He becomes our source of existence. He becomes our strength. And we are a part of Him. It's a wonderful mystery. I couldn't explain it any better than I've told you, so don't ask me any questions about that part tonight anyway. We are a part of Him. And this is a marvel that constitutes the church. The church. Why do I say all this? You've probably been wondering that when I first stood up here. I want you to realize what it means to be a part of the church. I'm not talking about being a part or a member of Grants Creek Missionary Baptist Church. That's not what I'm talking about. This is not what the Lord describes or is thinking of when He's talking about the church. I'm talking about being a part of the church and the ministry of Jesus Christ, the church, all Christians, all believers, we are part of. When I think about the destruction in the Bahamas, I don't just think about, you know, thank you, Roy. Yeah, H2O me now. We have brothers and sisters there that possibly have lost their lives, lost everything they have. Our brothers and sisters. And you remember not long ago we had a message about how that our spiritual brothers and sisters are more important even than our blood brothers and sisters. When we think about that, how our heart hurts or aches for them in that same manner. When I went to Haiti a few years back, my heart has been connected to those people ever since. And every time they go through a storm or they go through some difficulty or the pastor there sends me a little note, I either rejoice with them or I'm brokenhearted with them as if they were my very own. That's the way we are to be as a church. That's how we're to be connected with each other. And I think it's what's wonderful. It's been wonderful that Kim and I got to go to the Philippines and have been able to go to some different places, that our hearts now are connected with other brothers and sisters that we never would have even known. We would have never even had that. But they're all a part of the body of Christ. It's good for us to be able to expand our understanding and our knowledge of other people and recognize that they serve the same living God. The church is not just a group of people that come together here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and that just like to come and listen to the preaching and sing a little bit and head off the lunch. That's not what the church is. We are a group of people that share the same life. We share the very same life together. I know even in Sunday school it was mentioned this morning that sometimes it's maybe difficult to even share things with each other, even in church. We have a tendency to wear these veils because we don't want people to think of us badly. But we should be able to share everything with each other here in this place. That's the purpose of this church. And this church in Corinth was struggling with that because they were focused inwardly. They were thinking of themselves, you know, about how does this affect me, and which is the better gift. We're going to see that in a bit. You know, I want this gift. I'd rather be the one that speaks in tongues because that brings more attention to me. I want to be the preacher, you know, because that brings more attention to me. So Paul is saying, and as we'll get into, that each gift that's been given to you specifically by the Holy Spirit is given to you for a reason. So we share the same life. We belong to the same Lord. We're filled with the same Spirit. We're given gifts by the same Spirit. And we are intended to function together for a purpose. Now listen to me. We're intended as a church to function together for a purpose, and that, friends, is to change the world. We are to be world changers. Because of our existence in the world, we should affect the world. And we, in our study in Revelation, I know you remember it, that we did have a study in Revelation, didn't we? It seemed like a long time ago. But if you remember when the church is raptured and taken out, how everything changes on the planet. The devil has free reign to do what he wants. Do you see the stability? Even if the church is weak as it seems to be, you know, in this decade that we live in, but the stability that the church brings into the world, we are to be that which changes the world around us. Just by the mere existence of God Himself abiding in us. So Paul goes on in the next few verses to make it clear how it works and how many of you have ever asked the question, I love coming to church, but I don't really feel that there's anything that I can do. Any of you ever said that? If you have, you better get with me afterwards. There's plenty that you can do. You may say, I can't contribute. You know, I don't have any special gift. I don't have any special ability. And I tell you, friends, it's the wrong idea of what we think of as where our gifts are to be shared. And too many times we think that our spiritual gift is to be shared in this building. That's not the intent at all. It's outside of these walls that your gift is to be expressed. Not in here. Not in here. Verse 14 and 16 says, now the body is not made up of one part, but many. If the foot should say, I love how Paul describes this, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body. I would not, for that reason, cease to be a part of the body. So no matter if you say that, it doesn't make any difference. You're still a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, cease to be a part of the body. Now, Paul says that if your foot should say, well, I can't do all the things that the hand does. It's so flexible. I can wiggle my toes, but I can't wiggle them like the hands does. He's got his neat arm attached to it, and he can reach and grab things and do so many things. My foot just can't do the things that the hand does, because I wish I was the hand. The hand is so much more important to me than I am myself. I don't have that much to offer. I was thinking about this, and I was thinking of one, even standing here in my moving around and wobbling like I do sometimes, that the preacher's probably one of the greatest parts of his body that he has is his feet. And you may think, well, it should be his mouth. And you may be thinking, your preacher, well, not our preacher, is not the greatest thing. But I think about the two toes, the two big toes that I have on my feet. And if you never think about it, but just as soon as you begin to move or wobble a little bit, that big toe grabs you and keeps you from tipping over. If I didn't have those big toes, I would probably be on my face by now, because I like to wobble around up here. So the things that seem insignificant, the things that you can't even see, are very, very important to me. There are no insignificant members of the body. And the reason for this kind of thinking is because people have the wrong idea of what the work of the church is. And I just said it. I think the purpose of the church, the body, is to come here and meet, to express our gifts here in this fellowship. People look at the preachers and the teachers and the leaders of the church as the ones with the spiritual gifts. And a lot of times other people just say, well, I don't have a gift, preacher. I don't have anything to offer. But let me tell you, friends, beloved, if you're saved, if you're born again, if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, you have a spiritual gift. It's been given to you. But we need to realize that just what we do here is not the purpose of the church at all. The purpose of the church, listen to me, if you remember our study in Luke, what Jesus himself said, if we're part of Jesus, we're part of his body, we're part of the activity that he says. The purpose of the church is healing the brokenhearted, to give deliverance to those that are held captive to the world, to open the eyes of the blind, to preach the good news to the poor and downtrodden. The body of Christ has come to be encouragers in the world, to strengthen the weak and to help the poor, to deliver people from the guilt and the misery of sin, to set people free from the bondage of bad habits of addictions. That's what the church is here for, to bring Christ into the world. Let him do what he does. If we don't bring him, the world will never know him. What we do in here is the training ground for what we're supposed to be out there. This is the gym. This is Planet Fitness, right? This is where we come to exercise. This is where we come to learn and to figure out how it is we're to share that, to gain the knowledge that we need to have to go and share this with other people. What we do in here, friends, is important, but it's not the purpose of the church. It's outside these walls is where our purpose lies. It's where our purpose lies. And you're only kidding yourself when you say that you do not have anything to offer the church, because the church's work is not here just for the teachers and the preachers and the musicians and the singers. It's outside where you work. It's outside where you go to school. It's outside where you shop. It's outside where you farm. It's outside where you live and outside where you raise your families and your kids. That's where your gifts are expressed. You've got a lot to offer the church, friends, not the building, the church, the body of Christ. The body of Christ. Verses 17 to 20. I've missed you guys. I miss talking with you. I really do. Kim is probably glad that I'm back. Well, that. We had a good time. We were at Dollywood, and we were sitting listening to some bluegrass music there, and this older couple was sitting next to us, And I just started talking with them and found out they were from Northwest Georgia. Told me the church they went into, they were without a pastor, and they were telling me all the things. They were telling me about their music. They were telling me all these things. And when we left, Kim says, will you just talk to everybody? You just talk to everybody. And I said, well, you should be grateful. I'm not talking to you for right then. I got a chance to preach to them people. Verse 17, 20, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just, and listen to me, as He wanted them to be. Are you with me there? Do I need to read it again? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, makes specific there, doesn't He? Just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Now, how useless the work of Christ would be if we all did the same things. Wouldn't it be? It would be that. What if we all wanted to be preachers? Oh, that'd be great around here, wouldn't it? Here, all of us preachers be fighting every Sunday. I'm preaching today. No, you preached last week. I'm preaching today. I got a word from God. I've got to share it today. It would just be chaos. Nothing would take place. Nothing would happen even in the world. All we would be focused is on who gets to speak next. If we were all the preacher, nothing would get done. The offering wouldn't get collected. The hymns wouldn't be sung. There wouldn't be no Bible school, no youth groups. Everybody wanted to preach. It'd be ridiculous. It would be useless, is what it would be. It would be useless. There's so many gifts and talents that we have in our church. And I know that. I see that myself. This here at Grants Creek. So many gifted people. So many different ways. Every one of you are gifted. I said earlier, it's not what we do inside the walls, but what we're willing to give to those outside that matters. And I can't help but think about Christ and where did He accomplish the works that He did? Now, there was no doubt every now and then He'd preach in the synagogue and He'd hit a few people there, but that's not normally where He did His work. Seemed like everything that He accomplished, all that He did was outside the walls of the church house. It was out where people were at. It was where people were hurting. It was where people were suffering. It was where people were living. He healed those that were blind and made the lame walk. He mended the lives of those that were all around Him. That the work of Christ is in the world. I found it so interesting today that the speaker, he used the very scripture that I preached last just before I left. Do you remember what it was? That is terrible. I mean, I've just gone a week. Just a week. What was the last message I preached? Jesus calming the water. Calming the storm on the Sea of Galilee. It was a hint. The preacher here spoke about it as soon as he got up here. It was the first thing he used, Luke chapter 8. And next Sunday, so you'll know, you'll be ready, this preacher is going to preach about the person that's possessed that lives in the graveyard, okay? So be ready for that. He mentioned that also. I can never leave again. Verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. The game of golf is interesting. How many golfers we got in here? No golfers. Okay, you got one. Pat, how about that? Yeah, Molly's a golfer. Let me just say it this way, Pat, and you know it. I know you've ever thought about it truly this way, but the game of golf is a game of independent egos pitted against everybody else. True? I mean, you're not playing as a team. Now, it's rare that you play as a team in golf. You're playing for yourself, right? You want to be better than everybody else, even if it takes taking that club and wrapping it around somebody's head, if that's necessary. It's about you playing golf. Now, football's a different game, right? Football is a different game. You've got all these. How many players are on the football team? On the field, 11 men at any given time. Now, each one of them, everybody's not the quarterback, right? But you got a guy that's hiking the ball. He's called the what? And you got a guy that stands next to him who's a blocker. What's he called? Left guard, right guard. And the next guy next to him is what? The tackles. And beside them is who? The tight ends. And then farther out, who have you got? Wide receivers. And then you got a few guys standing back there with the quarterback. Who are they? Running backs. So you got a whole group. What'd you say? I didn't hear it. The guy hiking the ball, what's his job? The center, what's his job? What's he do, Mark? He hikes the ball, and then what's he do? That's all he does, isn't it? That's all he does. He hikes the ball and he blocks. What do the two guards do? They block. What do the tight ends do? Block and catch. Everybody on the team has got a specific job. It's not about them individually. Now, I'm not saying all this, Pat, so you'll give up golf and start playing football. Okay? But I'm saying is how the church should look. That we see what our job is. The goal for the football team is to have more points than the other team, right? To get across the end zone. To have more points than the others. And they all work together to do it. It's not an individual thing. No one person can win the game. Everybody's got to do their part. This is the church. The gifts that are given, the center may be saying, you know, I could be just as good a quarterback as I don't even know who plays anymore. Fran Tarkington. That's a long time ago. I know. But I'm saying is that they don't think that way. They're excited about their jobs that they've been given, to do what it is that they've been given responsibility to do. And I honestly, and I'm not saying this about our church, but in many churches today in the world, they play like golfers. They're looking to do it all for their benefit and to bring attention to themselves and to say, look how great I am. And that's what we see in a lot of churches today. Verse 22 and 25, on the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. This is an interesting little passage here. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has, isn't it amazing how Paul has put this together? But God has combined the members of the body and has given great honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. Now, Paul is saying that the parts that seem to be weaker are actually indispensable. You can't do without them. It's interesting when we think about people that maybe come and go within the church. When someone leaves the church, and we may not know why, or we may do know why, for whatever reason it may be, that it weakens the body. It weakens the body. So we are not what we once were with that person with us. Is that person not important to us? Is that person not important enough? I find it interesting today, you know, if somebody cuts off their finger, you know, the first thing they'll do is they'll grab something and stop the bleeding. But the second thing they do is do what? They pick up that finger, don't they? They're going to bring it back to the hospital because what do they want to do to it? They want to put it back on, right? That finger must be important to that person. But sometimes we treat folks like in the church when they just leave, like, well, wonder where so-and-so went. No big deal. We can live without them. If we all thought of each person, each individual here, as if losing a member of our own body, would we not act more seriously when someone walks out? Would we not be more concerned about following up and finding out why? I think of the people that work in the church behind the scenes that nobody seems to know anything about. Those that make sure that there's food for families, you know, that have maybe had deaths in their family. People that clean the church every week. I am so grateful. Listen, I'm just be honest with you. And I don't mean to sound gross. I'm thankful for the person who puts toilet paper in the bathroom. Amen? I mean, it's the truth. All the little things that we just take for granted, is it not a wonderful thing that we have that? People that mow the grass and visit people in the hospital or carry food to people that maybe not able to prepare for themselves, for building a wheelchair ramp or putting a roof on someone's house. All these things that you may not even know about. If we didn't have those parts in the church, what would our church be like? Just a bunch of teachers and preachers. Paul said, in the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. You probably didn't realize it, but I have skinny legs. I had my sister-in-law from years and years ago used to tell me that I had bird legs. That's what she told me, and I've never worn shorts since. I don't like them, and you men that wear shorts, you got good-looking legs, I'm happy for you. I don't think my legs are attractive, and that's why you normally don't see me in a pair of shorts. Now, next time you ever see me, you're going to be looking at my legs, I know. But I don't do it. I hardly ever wear it until Kim, you know, she embarrasses me or makes me feel bad about, you know, going to the beach in my long jeans and stuff. She said, "You look ridiculous. Put on a pair of shorts, you bird leg thing." And there are parts of our bodies that we keep covered up, you know, and they're private. We've got parts that are private. And I'll just say this too. Sometimes there's people that show parts that should be private a little more than they should. Okay, I've said it. But these parts, these private parts, they serve a very important function. And we don't discuss them with everybody, right? I mean, we got parts of our body we don't talk about. I hope you don't talk about. If you talk about them with me at a dinner or something, I'm gonna change the conversation. But just because we don't talk about them or we don't show them off that much doesn't mean that they're not important, right? I mean, the things that we don't show off, they're very important, right? There are people in the church that do things that nobody even knows about in this church here, that nobody even knows about. I think, and I'm not picking on you, Steve, but I'll see sometimes out here, Steve, and nobody knows he's out here fixing an air conditioner. Thank you very much, brother. Because without it, we would all be miserable. There's a special lady in this church that prays for me every day. And I know she does. Now, none of you see her doing it. And you may not think that it's such a big deal. But I'll say this. It's probably the most important job in the church that this person prays for me every day. Seriously. The things that are done in private are sometimes the most important things that can be done in our church. And when you start seeing the church in the way that God sees the church, then we'll stop looking at ourselves and others as being unimportant. We'll stop saying that other people's gifts are more important than my gifts, and I would really like to have that gift because that's the only gift that's really important. And we'll realize that we all work together for the good of the church, the body of Christ. Verse 26 says, "If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it." I remember, if you remember Jim Baker, any of you remember the name? He had a very popular ministry at one time. Very, very popular. Millions of people watched him, and millions of dollars were funneled into that ministry. Yes. And when he fell in disgrace, all Christians suffered. Okay? All Christians suffered. People looked at all of us in the same light as they saw Jim Baker. And when one suffers, we all suffer. You don't need to forget that. And we are all judged by the world by individual actions. Let me just say this too. The community at Grants Creek judges this church, this fellowship, by each individual that they see. If one person lives an ungodly life, the rest of this body is judged by that one person. Now at the same time, if this church here does good, and we are helping our neighbor, and we're loving, and we're spreading the gospel, and we're doing those things, then we're judged also in the same manner. That they, one person may be outdoing most of the work, but the world will look and say, that church at Grants Creek, they're awesome people there. By the judgment of one part of the body. Verse 27:31. I'm getting close to the end. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and when then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, those speaking in different kinds of tongues. And we could go into what all these look like. I'm not going to. But then he asks the question, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. And now I will show you the most excellent way. No one has all these gifts, friends. Nobody here. No one does all the work in the church. Every one of us need each other. Paul is making the point that each gift is important, and when it's used, it will grow, and the church will grow. If you use your gift, you will grow, and the church, the body of Christ, will grow also. Our gifts are chosen by the Holy Spirit. And no matter what gift you desire, you must know that God knows you better than you know yourself. God is determined that Kim and I are not to be millionaires. Because he knows that we wouldn't be good millionaires. He knows that he's going to give us what he desires to give us. And whatever that is, we are to honor him with it in any kind of way. Whatever it is, whatever you may have, whatever's been given to you, you should be the best at it that you can be. Because God has given it to you for a reason. You may be sitting there thinking, I can do what the preacher's doing. I can do it better. I should be the one doing it. Be grateful that God has given you the gift that you have been given and excel in that. That's what we all should do, no matter what that may be. This here is not the most important. It is just one part of the body. That we all use the gift and express it through the best way that we can. To do what? To bring glory to God. I thank God that the Holy Spirit chose the spiritual gifts that we have, not ourselves, because we'd make a mess. I'm going to conclude by reading part of chapter 13. Next week, we're going to deal with chapter 13. It'll take us a couple of weeks to deal with chapter 13, because I love chapter 13. It's the love chapter, because I love love. Chapter 13, verses 1 through 8, it says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, wow, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. Hallelujah. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. So of all your gifts and talents are of no use to God, are of no use to Christ and His body, will accomplish nothing, no matter how great the gift that you may have, If it is expressed without love, it is futile. It is nothing. Everything stems from this one thing. And I urge you tonight to ponder two things. Number one, am I using the gifts that God has given me in this church? And remember, the work of the church is not in this building. Don't equate it as being a Sunday school teacher or being part of some committee or anything like that. I'm not talking about that. Are you using the gifts that God given you for the church outside? And secondly, why do I do what I do? Do I want it because of some recognition that I might receive? Or do I do it because I love? Ask yourself those two questions tonight. Without love, friends, it's a waste of time. Amen?
As we've come to the close of today's message, how is the Holy Spirit using this sermon to speak to you? Have you decided to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or are you in need of prayer for spiritual or physical needs? There's no better time than right now to reach out to God in prayer. We would love to pray with you or hear about your testimony. You can contact us on the web at www.grantscreekbaptist.com to let us know of a salvation decision, a prayer request, or to email Pastor Steve about your relationship with the Lord. If you're looking for a church home, then look no further. Welcome home to Grants Creek Baptist in Maysville, North Carolina. Join us for our worship services on Sundays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and you can also join us for Sunday school at 9:45 a.m. On Wednesday evenings, we have a Bible study and youth activities starting at 7. Be sure to check out our calendar of events on our website to see other special programs that happen throughout the week. Thanks again for listening to today's sermon with Pastor Steve Grissom. We look forward to worshiping God together with you real soon.